Let all of God's children say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I see then we have all of God's children in the house. Amen. Amen. I don't know why whoever made this lineup would put me following these three people. Two. Outstanding message from all of them. I don't know, Pastor, what is the protocol here? Every time you read the scripture that we must stand, is that it?
Well, generally, but if you want to stand, then it's even okay.
Well, I don't want to be different, I know. Praise the Lord. Let us read from the 91st Psalms. Amen. A little bit. They have been several people asked me, Pastor, are you ready? Are you ready? I got a story behind to tell that, but let us read just the first two verses and verse number 9. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. And verse number 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. End of the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we're so grateful that we have an opportunity to allow you to use us. We ask, Lord God, that you will give unto me what you want me to give unto them. We pray that you will use my voice to comfort your children right now, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Walking and talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. This psalm that we read from, I think I did give it a title, but I don't know what the title was. But we don't know exactly who wrote this song. The scholars, they don't know. Now, Psalms 9 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And number 91 states, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. You know, abiding and dwelling in the secret place. When I was driving truck, I thought I was pretty good. And I could leave wherever I was here, Arizona, and take off and go to Boston, Massachusetts, and before they come up with the GPS, and all I had was a telephone number, and just the telephone number and the name of the company. That's it. No address or nothing. So when I would get there, I could, about 50 miles before I got to the place, I started get on the CB and ask them, say, can you tell me how to, anybody can tell me how to find a certain place? Somebody go come up with an answer. And he could give me directions and give me 5-6 different turns while I'm driving. I can't write nothing down. And couldn't remember what he said. Only thing I could remember, he gave me the number of the exit that I had to get off. I remembered that. And every time I got to the turn, I made the right turn. Every time. And now listen at this now. Every time I made the right turn, that was not none of me. I found out later that was God. My son called me one day, so I started tips on this truck. How do you shift gears? How do you do this? How do you do that? I went on to tell him, this is I was on my way from Chicago, from Milwaukee, going down into 41. And that, from a four-lane highway to a hitch in front of him. So I shelved it to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, because I just knew I would go missing them, some of them as close as a foot. And when I got parked, so it was not none of me. Dwells in the secret place by he shall abide under the watchful eye of God. Amen. Listen, and that now it says in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord's that made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That habitation, listen. You know, a lion, he marks off his territory. And he marks it off by his urine, and while he marks it off, we've seen it on television. And everything comes into that territory, that's his habitat. And everything comes into that habitat is his. It belongs to him. Everything that is there, all the pride belongs to him. That's his habitat. Now, he said he'll make God your habitation. Beaver dams up a creek. And the part that he dams up and where the water bags up, that's his habitat. That's his habitat. And what goes on in that habitat is his habitation. The process of him collecting his food is his habitation. This right here, church, is my habitat. Everything that comes into This church, whatever, when the pastor preached, you remember what the pastor preached about last week? He preached about recommitting yourself unto God. What did you do with it? Did you take that? Everything that the pastor preaches from this place here, what do you do with it? Do you take it and take it home with you? Take it to the dwelling place. Do you dwell on it? Right. Dwell on it. Constantly dwelling on what you hear at this place. Learn to use everything. I don't care if they say something about you. Use that. Whatever they say about you, use it. Because they're saying it. God, listen, when God is watching over you, then everything come into your life is for you. Now, when our brother Sawaski, get back, Pastor, if I don't thank him, you see him before I do, you thank him for him. Tell him, said Larry Jackson, said thank you. Now, this is what he did. And one of the best things anybody could have ever did, he used to see me and say, "You're not opening the door for your wife." I took it at heart. I started opening the door for her.
Amen.
You're not holding your wife's hand. I start holding her hand. Amen. Now listen at this now. You, instead of you complaining about your wife's making friends here, no, go back and wait with her. Wait until she get ready to go. And you and I wish I could explain to you what a difference that made. How much, you know, when you show your love, that's what he was telling me. Yeah. That love that you claim that you love her must be put into action.
Yeah.
Love is a verb and it shows action. And that action, you must put it into action. Put that love into action. The man is the head. That's what the Lord told me. Say, you the head. You cause her to act the way you want towards you. You cause her by loving her.
Yes.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. So everything that comes into my life, I want to use it.
Yes.
Now God will cause you to create a dwelling place. A secret dwelling place. You know, when Jacob, he wanted that birthright of Esau. Now, birthright, they had certain things that they had rights to because of their birth position. First, second. Now, I don't know what Jacob's birthright one, but he had one too. But he wanted who? Esau's birthright. He wanted him. Now listen at this. Jacob dwelled on something good, something that pertains to him and God. His birthright. And he schemed, he and his mother schemed. And got it. Now listen at this now. Then, after he had gotten Esau's birthright, he left. Esau just said he will do something to him. And Jacob left and he ran. That night, when he got ready to go to sleep, listen, he didn't know it. But God was watching him all the way. He was under God's attention. He was under God's eyesight when he left home in the night when he, listen to what he did. Now this is what he did. When he went to sleep that night, the scripture says right here, he says, what did it say about those angels? He said, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, an angel of God is a messenger.
Yes. Right.
And what he dreamed, he saw God's angel. What those angels were doing were bringing him messages that tells him that you are under God's protection. And you know what he did? How did he respond? Said, Lord, if you go do all of this, I'll give you 10% of what you give me. That is God. God responded to what he was doing. He was dwelling on what God, the message that God had given him. He was dwelling on that birthright. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. Shall abide under El Shaddai. He came Almighty came to Abraham, told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, walk before me and grow into maturity. Walk before me and let your light so shine that I see you. That listen, it's not your light's going to shine, but the light that God gives, he's going to shine on Abraham. Okay. Abraham had a place to go. Listen. So, listen. Listen at this. I'm gonna close in a few. How long? How many more long I be up here, sweetie? And listen, Jacob, start dwelling on the divine. What divine? What God wanted? And Jacob found the value of the birthright, what God was intending for him to do with that birthright. So he dwelt on that birthright. And Jacob found comfort from him dwelling on that birthright. Jacob found protection from God because of him dwelling in that secret place. I tell you, when we dwell in that secret place, I'm going to tell you, if you're ever looking for something in life, look, Paul says, look for the secret place that God has for you to dwell in. Now, what are you talking about, preachers, about dwelling on it? What do you do? What do you do with what the pastor preaches in the morning? Do you take it home with you? When I was working in the factory, and when I got off work, everything I did at work stayed at work. I didn't think about it no more, and went back the next morning and picked it up. And that started it all over again. But everything that comes into my life through this church, because it is the house of God, then no, I take it with me. I take it with me. Then when I take it with me, when I go to bed at night, I may get on my knees and tell God about what he done said to me through the pastor.
Yes, that's good.
That's dwelling. Dwelling on what God has said. Dwelling in that secret place that God have allowed you to enter. Listen. Now, here's the thing about that. That was in the Old Testament. I don't know if God has any secret place in the New Testament or not. I'll tell you the reason why. It's secret to the world. Now here's what the scriptures say. What did it say? 1 Corinthians 2:9. What did that scripture say? Let me read it for you, because don't you be saying that old preacher just up there making up stuff. Anyway, it said, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither has it entered into man's heart, what God has prepared for them that love him. The next verse says what? But, so I can't get the people up the page. Oh. But God has revealed it unto us. Who is that us? Paul was talking about him and his colleague. He was talking about that preacher there, that pastor, that preacher there, that pastor. God has revealed unto him what he has prepared for you.
Yes,
and I.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know where you go find that at? I'm gone, done now, Pastor. I know I done overstepped my boundary, but he says now that secretness that you're looking for is found in the person, in the man. That man is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That man is Jesus Christ. What you looking for? You know, Paul was a scholar in the Jewish community. He was, he went to school, very well educated in the law. He read what he said in Philippians, the third chapter, and see what type of man he was in the, what he had. Let me read it for you, then I'm going to go, Pastor. I promise you that. I promise you. Let me read it for you. Then I'm going to leave it alone. He said in Philippians, first he said, Pastor was talking about a couple of days ago, he was talking about one of his favorite scriptures. He said his favorite scripture was, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live is not my life. Listen at this now. Paul said in Romans, he said, I am separated unto the gospel. Now, in Philippians, he said, what did he say? He said, if any man think that he has what it takes, I'm going to find, I should have had it marked, but I listen at what he said there. He said, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing unto you, to me indeed is not grievous. Beware of dogs, beware of evil worker, beware of concision. Now, I'm going to move on down a little. He said, what he's saying is, if he says that I had something. I had something that a very few people in my status had accomplished. He says that who did he identify himself? He was an Hebrew of Hebrews. He says that. Here it is. I'm going to find it. He says that he was circumcised the eighth day off the stock of Israel, off the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee. And he said, but what? I count all of that as dung, just that I may be able to win Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not, God hasn't hidden anything. He's opened it up to us that it's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you are missing anything in life that's worth having, it is because you haven't discovered Jesus Christ.
Yes. That's right.
This is you. When he's talking about dwelling in a secret place, that secret place is Jesus Christ. You tell what thus said Jesus. And God loved him so much. He loved him so much. He said, this is my beloved son. Peter and John went up on that mountain where Christ was transfigured. And he got up there and Peter got excited about what he seen. He saw Elijah and a couple of more people talking to Christ. And he said, Lord, it's good that we are here. Let us make three tabernacles. And God intervened. No, this is my son. Hear ye him. If you hear Jesus Christ, listen, Pastor, if you hear Jesus Christ, hear ye him. If you hear Jesus Christ and do what he said you will do, you have rest.
Yes. Amen.
Your battle is over.
Yes. That's good. Amen.
Your battle is over.
Amen.
And not only will he, you are at rest, you're going to another place.
Yes.
Paul says, for me to live is Jesus Christ. For me to die is gain.
Yes.
Which should I choose? He said, I don't know. It's good for me that I stay here with you, but if I go and be with the Lord, which is far better. But when you get saved, you don't have to be in no rush. Because God has put a seal on you. And one day, that seal is like a down payment. Who that real estate person? Somebody put that honest money on you. That seal is honest money. God coming back at you.
Amen.
When you get saved, ain't no say you get saved and you lose it. No, he put a seal on you. He's coming back at you.
Yes.
And he put that seal on you like he's coming back. And the best thing you can do in life is get that seal.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
Amen. I was in the clothes, but I'm going to leave it alone, Pastor. I have to stop in the middle because I go all day. God bless you.
Look what God can do.
Amen.
This all started in January at a Cane's restaurant. I was sitting there eating with the youth group. I think it was after the last hallelujah service. And pastor came in and sat next to me, and we just started talking about the service and everything. And he said, maybe we should have some men from the church preach. And he looked at me. So he told me, and then he started mentioning some other names. And I don't belong up here, but only by God's amazing grace. If he had told me a year and a half ago I would be up here, I would have laughed. I was a backslidden out of church for almost 8 years. I came to this church many years ago and under Pastor Hardesty, and I walked away from God. So going back to the Cane's, we went to Cane's again with Pastor after the basketball championship, and she came in second place, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to go with you again, Pastor, because last time you told me to preach, and this time he goes, well, maybe we'll have you sing. So here's my little attempt at making a joyful noise to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for godly parents who have been there through the thick and the thin. A lot more thick with me, thick-headed, hard-headed. And I'm so grateful for God's amazing, amazing grace in my life.
Amen.
We're going to open up our Bibles to Psalms once again. Kind of saw the theme going on with Psalms. Psalms 119. Longest book in the Bible. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
Amen.
I'm going to focus on that first phrase there. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time, Lord, that you've allowed me to come and stand in front of this congregation, this precious church, Lord. I ask for your your protection of this church, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would protect the young people, Lord, from the world, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide and put your strength and your wisdom in our leadership, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for your so many blessings, Lord, that I do not deserve that you have given to me, Lord. And I just continue, Lord, to continue to help me to finish the rest of my life on this earth, Lord, pleasing you and honoring you. And we give you all the honor and the glory, Lord. You may pray. Amen.
Amen.
I had another title for this message, but I kind of stole this one from my cousin, Sasso Mendez. He does a podcast, and he repeated a phrase, and he said, God is a God of green lights, which we all love. We love those green lights, but also he's a God of red lights. And personally, in my life, I have run so many red lights in my life and been so grateful that God has protected me and not allowed me, because there have been so many people in my life that I know have not made it. So many people that I grew up with have already passed. Starting from the age of 16 years old, my cousin passed away, 16 years old. From then on, it was like funeral after funeral after funeral. And I grew up in a Christian church. I went to a Christian school. And yet there were so many of us that have been taken already because of falling to the lies of the devil and of the world. My first thing I want to talk about is rules or principles for the fulfilled life. The preacher last week talked about the example of the Ten Commandments. Just that by itself would be a great step forward for the world itself if they would just follow those Ten Commandments. The world would be so much better off. He also talked about the awakening of a carnal man. We all have it in us, you know. And I just beg for my boys not to awaken, and my family not to awaken that carnal man.
Amen.
Yes, God's going to help you, but there's so much pain and suffering that comes from awakening that stuff inside of us. And it hasn't gotten harder, dude. It's only gotten easier. The world just makes it easier and easier. Satan finds ways just to make it so readily available to us. What I went through and how I had to do it, I can't even imagine what the young people do today, how they could survive all that stuff that the world is constantly just attacking and throwing them. We only had a few like stations on a TV. Now they got it like 24/7. They can look on your phone now. You can watch, you know, TV and stuff and see things that they shouldn't be getting involved in. I had to go searching for it. They don't have to look very far anymore. Pray for our young people. Pray for our congregation. Because even us as being older, we can still fall prey to it. Just when we think that we've won the battle, he's there waiting for us to attack us at any moment. It is good for me, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We may sit there and wonder why things happen to us. We need to focus on why is he doing this? What is going on in our lives? Don't run that red light. I once had a running shirt that I got at a store, and it said hopeless on it. And I got so many reactions from that shirt. People did not like that. The world did not like it. But the world wants to have hope. The shirt was hopeless, and it was a shirt about Nike spikes. To hopeless that you're going to perform. You can hopeless that you're going to be able to defeat Satan. By like what all these men were talking about earlier, reading your Bible, praying, coming to church, having a personal relationship with God so that you can depend on him and help him, and he will support you. The second point I want to make important is value the suffering. You know, we don't like suffering. We want to be comfortable. I went to my old church one time, and there was a pastor. He talked about he went down because they have a real strong ministry in Mexico. And he was telling the pastor, you need to come up to America and see how, you know, it is up there. And he says, no, I don't want to go up there because it's too comfortable for me. I want to be down here where it's not so comfortable. But yet we thrive and we strive to have our life more and more comfortable. Not saying anything's wrong with that, but we need to be cautious and careful of that. I love running. It takes a lot of time and nutrition and training of the mind, and it takes a lot of pain. But it's good for me because I enjoy that, and I just can't settle for doing a 5K or a 10K or a half marathon. I keep striving for more and more. And I think of that of the Christian life is that we should always be striving to go further and further for God. And not get comfortable just doing 5Ks. Because you go do a 5K, there's lots of people there doing the 5K. You do a 10K, there's a little bit less. You do a half, and there's like a little bit more less. And then you do a marathon, and there's really not that many people that do it. And then these even got even more races now where people are doing 100-mile races and 250-mile races. And these people are running for days. And those are the unique. And may we strive to be those people that want to be at that top level. Thinking about the disciples. You got the 12 disciples. Like, oh, what an amazing thing to be one of the 12 disciples. But then you got Judas. You don't want to be a Judas. But then you think of also the three, Peter, James, and John. Whoa, what to be one of the three disciples. Oh, but to be John, the one who loved God. Jesus. May we be that one that wants to be the Johns in this world and love God ultimately.
Yes.
Amen. 1 Peter 1 says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Free of sin. We can't do that by ourselves.
Yes.
We need God to help us with that.
Yes.
Going back to the what do you call it, the running, when things get tough, you get a mantra that you have to build, and people say mantras like, I do hard things, or such things like that, phrases. My phrase now for me running is, I need you, God.
Amen.
And I've never done that before in my running. Used to listen to the wrong type of music, had to cut that out. Now I listen to preaching, I listen to podcasts, and I thought of people who would do that. I was like, no, you need that music, you need that beat, I need that beat to keep you going. I don't need it. I need God. I need God to help me. And not just in my running. I need God every single day, every single moment in my life.
That's good. Right.
Mm-hmm. This clip and this tie that I have on right now were given by Brother Chris was the clip, and Brother Kane gave me the tie. And he told me this was a sanctified tie. And sanctify means the process or action of being freed from sin. I used to have a neighbor that lived next door. And every weekend, he would, Friday and Saturday, he would call me and he would sit there and say, are you ready? Are you ready to sin? What he was telling me. And there I would do it for 8 years. I would go there every weekend and go and sin with him. Then I came to church one day. And there was a man at the door, and he started telling me, are you ready? And that was Brother Cain. Are you ready to hear the preaching? Are you ready for revival? I regret the ready for sin. I don't regret the ready for the revival and the preaching. I think I can't remember, it was Brother Stussy saying that you always regret sin.
Amen.
Always regret it. That's the thing for me. Are you ready? Because even if you're ready, you still need God's strength. You still need God's relationship to help you get through this world.
Yes.
I attend a a program from on Fridays from time to time when I can make it. It's an addiction program, and there's some people in that program, and they sit there and they say, "Why do you go to that program for? You're not addicted to, you know, certain gambling or drinking or whatever else." And this lady answered, "Because we're all addicted to sin." And it's a biblical-based program that helps, through the Bible, helps you have freedom, but freedom that will last. Amen. And that's only going to happen through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay? God is trying to elevate you and draw you closer to Him and strengthen you, but we must die to ourselves.
Yes.
And that's been a hard lesson for me to learn in my life. You know, the world preaches that you deserve it, that you've earned it. You know, take time for yourself. You know, go on the weekend, go to the lake, go to the golf course, play golf on the weekends. Don't give that time to God. So ultimately, the third point is that you got to make a choice. Through affliction, you must decide how you're going to respond. The Bible says in Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Be still and know that I am your strength. Be still and know that I am your comfort.
Yes.
Be still and know that I am your peace." Because there is no peace in the world.
Yes.
When I was 8 years, I never had any peace. I was afraid to meet my Maker.
Yes.
I was afraid to die. There's been an event that happened 8 years ago, and which led me to walk away from God. And then I had a health scare, and it started to prepare me for what was about to happen. And you know, I had that sin that I was doing was literally killing me. You know. My doctor kept warning me and telling me, "Hey, you're pre-diabetic. You need to be careful." And yet, I continued to keep doing it and doing it. And then I failed a glucose test. Then it got my attention. And I came to church on my birthday. And I gave it to God.
Amen.
And I went home. And I thought to myself, like, how can I ask God to bless me in my life and my family if I still got all this stuff in my cabinet? I got all that stuff, like Brother Stussy did this morning. I grabbed all that stuff that I had in my cabinet, and I just threw it in the trash.
Amen.
And got rid of it.
Amen.
I had apologized to my boys because they had seen way too much. Had taken them too many places and exposed them way too much stuff, too much stuff. I saw the effects of my family, what it did to them, but yet I still chose to go along with that lifestyle. And then right after that happened, because 8 years ago, I was sold out for God. I was in church doing the Awana program. I was doing junior church. I was still going door knocking. And the devil got me. And I walked away. I made the wrong choice. So God gave me another chance. Came back, coming back to church. And that same event happened again. Because the devil knew, hey, it worked one time. Let me get him again. But this time, I'm choosing to stay with God.
Amen.
I'm not going to go back to the world.
Amen.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
And I'm not going to fail Him again. But I started to wonder, like, why did God allow these events to happen in my life?
Yeah.
And then I heard a message by Brother Larry on a Wednesday, and he was talking about I think it was his grandfather, and about him purging the tree and how that the fruit was bitter and how that his grandfather went and purged that tree and put honey on it and made it sweet. And now, going forth, that fruit is sweet. I was bitter to God. God didn't like what he was tasting, and so he had to purge me. And he didn't purge me because he was being mean or punish me, but he was purging me out of love.
Right.
And now I hope to be the rest of my life sweet to God.
Amen.
I want a relationship with God.
Amen.
I want him to say, "You did well." There's a story that I heard from a preacher, and I'll end with this, talking about a necklace, a pearl necklace. And this little girl went to a store with her mom, a dollar store, and the little girl said she wanted that pearl necklace, the fake pearl necklace. And Mom said, "Well, it's $5, you know, it's a lot of money." And she goes, "Well, you know, you get 25 cents a week for your allowance.
Oh.
Maybe you save up throughout the weeks and months. You'll save up that $5 and you can buy it." And sure enough, she did. Faithfully for months and months, she saved up. And before you know it, she had the $5 and she was so happy to go to the store that day to go get that necklace, finally, after so much time and patience, she went and bought that necklace. She walked home, put that necklace on, and was so proud what she had done. And then her dad came home, and he saw that necklace. He saw that little girl, and he said, "I'm going to come home tomorrow. And you're going to take that necklace off and you're going to give it to me." And fear got into her heart. And she was afraid. Like, what is my dad going to do? So the next day, she dreaded. And finally, the next day, her dad came home at night. And her dad said, "Come on now. Give me that necklace." She took that necklace off and she gave it to her dad. Tears started running down her face. Because she was giving up something she had worked so hard for, that she thought was so valuable. And her dad reached into his pocket. He pulled out a real necklace, real pearl necklace.
Amen.
We strive in this world for such temporal.
Yeah.
It means nothing. It means nothing. Yeah, we just got to trust God and obey him and strive for godliness, for eternal things in life. Not settle. Like so many people are settling. Like so many people are choosing day by day that they're building their lives of what they have that is temporal and not eternal. I'm 54 years old and I've wasted so much time, so much money on temporal things that for eternity are not going to mean anything.
Amen.
They do the old classic saying, you're not going to be able to pull a hearse behind the hearse is not going to be a trailer taking all this stuff to the afterlife. But it's so enticing, and it's so hard to not get caught up with that carnal flesh and choose the eternal over the temporal.
Yes.
I pray that this church family will value and choose the eternal over the temporal.
Amen.
And that's only going to happen with the trust and the help and strength of God.